Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and now it's time for the 3-4-3, which is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Number one, Atlanta United back at home at the Benz on Saturday as the return to Major League Soccer play will be upon us. Columbus has been struggling a little bit. Atlanta's coming in after their win on the road in Nashville, trying to build some momentum. You're in a must-win situation. Yeah, you're still alive for a playoff spot. You have to win. It's going to be an incredible achievement if you basically win out and get some help to qualify for the playoffs. It would be one of the most shocking things that we've ever seen in this game. Atlanta United does have to think about that while also thinking about how they grow in the big, big picture. Enea Mihai spoke to the media today. Luke Brendan did as well. You'll be able to hear those clips on the Training Ground Dispatch report on the SDH network. But I wanted to share a little bit of the conversation with Enea with you. Where it starts, I had asked him about playing behind the pairing that we saw in Nashville from the start of Bartosz Ślisz and Steven Alzate. Here's what Enea had to say, and then and follow-ups as well.
Steven, as I say, every player has different characteristics. Steven is a player that he can keep the ball in difficult situations under pressure. He can create some situations dangerous for the opponent. He can help his set pieces like we saw in the last game. But in the same time, Christian entered inside in the second half and he locked the game, you know. So everyone is important. Everyone have his strength, and that's very important, you know. And every game is depend the opponent we face needs different characteristics. So this is the job of the coach to decide who is the best player to.
How important is it to have that competition for spots for a team to be successful?
Obviously, this is the most important, you know. The trainings are the first step for to perform good in a game. So when you have good competition, even you know that. If I don't perform good, but if I'm not in the best shape, someone else is there for to take my spot. But in the same time, you know, it's not the same having a player in less quality to face like a defender, or to have a defender like make your life hard, you know. So you feel in the game that I'm totally prepared.
I think that competition for spots is a really important factor of Atlanta United starting to play better, is you have the battle at center back with Juan Bedercal in there with Gregerson and with Mihai. The battle in the midfield with Alzate now competing with Muyamba, with Ślisz, with Riley. Fortune will be back in that conversation next year. Cooper Sanchez will push for more minutes in that position as well. Competition is key, and we will see if Atlanta United can continue to build on that. You'll be able to listen to the pregame show starting at 6:30 with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz on Saturday. Kickoff set for 7:40 on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. You can also listen on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass by choosing the home team radio option in the audio menu. Number two on the local side, women's college updates. I've got a couple for you here. Georgia State, they won in Gainesville over the University of Florida for their first win over an SEC opponent since 2005. Huge win for the Panthers. They have their conference opener Sunday at 2:00 at the GSU Soccer Complex. You can watch on ESPN Plus as well. But this was a big one. Aaliyah Fadul's cutback cross found Reese Gordon. That was the winner in the match. Big win for the Panthers. Also on the women's college side, Oglethorpe, their winning streak continued on Friday, where they went up the road to Piedmont and won that with two goals from Harlow Krieger. The Stormy Petrels are back in action tomorrow night. They're hosting LaGrange in Brookhaven. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock on campus at Oglethorpe University. Men's college updates. I've got two for you there as well. Emory, they are ranked number 3 in the D3 polls as they remained unbeaten over the weekend, won both games in the John P. Salamone Invitational at Oglethorpe. Josh Grand made some history as well in their big win over Wisconsin Lutheran on Sunday. He had 4 assists in the match. That's the most assists in a single game in Emory soccer history, which is goes all the way back to 1958. The longest running program in the state of Georgia, Josh Grand set a new record for the program. Josh Grand, a local guy, played at Atlanta International School, and now he goes into the Emory record books with 4 assists in that game on Sunday. Also on the men's college side, Mercer, late magic in Macon to get a draw against number 22 ranked South Florida. It's a crazy game. South Florida had more of the possession, but Mercer hung around and hung around and hung around. And finally, at the end, it was in the corner, and it's a cross that ends up in the back of the net. It was one of the crazier tying sequences that I had seen in a game, but it worked. Tolu Adeyemi took it to the corner and was trying to find the angle for the cross, finally whipped in the cross. There's somebody in the back post who I think would have put it home, but it curls in off of the far post and in. A wild moment, big result for Mercer and the Bears in Macon. All right, headlines from around the world. I got 4 of them for you. Number 1, Barcelona. We've talked a lot about Barcelona. I feel like every morning espresso that I do on the SDH network, I have a Barcelona update. Well, you get one here tonight on AST because they are going to have to kick off their home La Liga campaign in front of 6,000 fans at their training ground stadium. The Camp Nou renovation delays, which are now almost up to a full year. Basically, Barcelona's homeless. They announced on Tuesday that they will play Valencia at the Johan Cruyff Stadium on Sunday. 6,000 seats. It's in their training facilities on the outskirts of Barcelona. They had hoped to make a return to the Camp Nou, at least with a reduced capacity of 27,000, but they have not gotten their certificate of completion for the construction, the renovation of the stadium. They haven't gotten the necessary safety permits from the Barcelona City Council, and they can't even go to their alternative stadium, the Olympic Stadium, where they've played the past couple of seasons. They don't get to do that because Post Malone is playing there on Friday, and the pitch will be in bad shape on Sunday. So they've got to go play at the training ground stadium. Looks like they're going to have to play their Champions League games in the league phase at the Olympic Stadium. They should get back into the Camp Nou sometime in the next month or two. Maybe. This is Barcelona we're talking about, so anything's possible. One of the most poorly run professional organizations I have ever seen, FC Barcelona. Number 2, maybe competing for that, Nottingham Forest. They have fired Nuno Espirito Santo and now hired Ange Postecoglou. They announced that Nuno Espirito Santo, even though he's done things that have never happened for Nottingham Forest, he was fired because his relationship with the owner, Evangelos Marnakis, has broken down. And now they've went to a coach that, from a tactical perspective, and this is a in-season move, Nuno plays a very defensive, counter-attacking, back-foot kind of style. Ange wants his team to play very aggressively, in your face, with possession, but with high pressing. It is as far away from the way that they have been working in preseason and the start of the season as you could possibly get. And that's who they've hired. No plan, no clue, and I don't think this is going to work well for anybody. Good job, Nottingham Forest.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Number three, Luis Suarez of Inter Miami, not the Colombian variant, who had four goals tonight. Luis Suarez, who received an additional three-match suspension from Major League Soccer for spitting on a Seattle Sounders security officer following the Sounders' win in the League's Cup Final. Good move, MLS. This was the right move. This was the one that had to be done correctly in this situation. There were a bunch of suspensions announced for League's Cup play. The match was in the League's Cup, which is not MLS regular season. But what Suarez did was egregious and needed to be punished on top of the League's Cup suspension. Major League Soccer got this right. I think people complaining about Sergio Busquets not being suspended for MLS play, one, that was not really a punch. It was more of a push. Two, that's a red card. And that's all it is. And that's going to be served in League's Cup. And I think it's actually an additional game on top of the normal one game suspension for a red card. So that's it. Spitting on somebody's different and it should have been treated different. And it was treated different. And that's correct. Now, the other question for me is Steven Linhart. So he's a member of the Sounder staff, which nobody knew, it seems like, up until this point. MLS revoked his credential privileges. So he can't be there for the rest of 2025. They also fined the Sounders for misappropriation of credentials, which really makes me wonder what happened with Steven Linhart. What was he doing? And why did nobody know that he was part of the staff? I'm really confused by all of that. Number four on the headlines, the U.S. Soccer Federation, not quite a headline yet, but they're finalizing details, according to ESPN and others, for the United States men's national team to play Portugal in a friendly in March of 2026 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It'd be the first time that Cristiano Ronaldo has played in the United States since 2014 when Real Madrid toured the U.S. Yes, there have been some legal questions with Cristiano Ronaldo in the United States before. I don't think they would still prevent him from coming to the U.S. to play in this game, but that could be an interesting subplot to this. It would be a big game. Portugal should qualify, and it'd be an opportunity to see a big level game in the United States with the U.S. playing it. What does make you think that the U.S. would not play their final game before the World Cup here just 3 months later? This might be the game in Atlanta for the U.S. men. We'll see if it gets announced here shortly. Quickly, three things that make me smile. And sometimes you need some things that make you smile in this game. Number one, Atlanta United 2 and the Academy players who are part of Atlanta United 2 in the match on Saturday, shining against the Belize national team in a really fun friendly at the training ground. You can watch it back at atlutd.com/live on the Atlanta United YouTube. It was fun to call it with Joe Freihoffer. But seeing the young talent on display, whether they were Atlanta United 2 players like Ignacio Suarez or Academy players who maybe you didn't know too well coming into it, but who just absolutely shined. David Alouvabir, Isaac, Damola Brown. Really strong performances from players in this match. It was a lot of fun to see. Go back and check out the match if you get a chance to. Really enjoyed it. Number two, the Bolivian national team. I had a chance in the break to see some of the videos that have come out from the reaction for Bolivia to find out that they had reached the interconfederational playoff. They're not in the World Cup. They go into the playoff. But even the reactions before the game to just the emotion, tears of the national anthem, even more tears after the result, beating Brazil to earn the spot. It's what it's all about. I mean, it's why we love this game so much. And number three, Ray Hudson. Another reason why we love this game so much. Ray Hudson announced his retirement from calling games today, from his spot with SiriusXM FC, from his spot with Paramount and CBS Sports. Ray was one of the most unique announcers in sports. He did not try to fit any script of what people tell you to do. He called the game as he felt it. And you have to love that about him if you love this game. He reacted as a fan would. He reacted as a kid would a lot of times. He had his favorites. He had teams and players that he didn't like as much. You could tell when, I mean, it was Argentina or it was Lionel Messi. Ray was on another level. It was always fun to see where he would take things. It was always one of those where if he was on a game, you wanted to see and hear how he reacted in the biggest moments. And as he said today, the fact that his last games that he called was that insane semifinal in the Champions League between Barcelona and Inter, where he was on another planet calling those games because the games took him to another planet. They were wild. He did it his way. And that was incredible to hear and see for as long as we got to have Ray Hudson as a commentator. I mean, I'll go back to Ray Hudson on Goal TV and on BN Sports and calling La Liga games. The year that Real Madrid won the league late on the last day when David Beckham played his last game for Real Madrid. That's one of those memories that I'll always have of Ray Hudson yelling at Phil Shane for talking about Hollywood actors in the stands and Tom Cruise. And Ray Hudson loved the game as much or more than anybody else. And he brought that through every single time that he was on a mic calling a game. We, all of us in this industry, will miss Ray Hudson calling games. And he had one of the greatest careers of any of us who get a chance to do this. Thank you, Ray, for all that you gave the game and all that you gave all of us who try to follow in your footsteps calling it. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be back next Tuesday, 10 o'clock, Atlanta United, Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff, 6:30 pregame show. Thank you for spending some time with me. Adios, everybody.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.